Guess what, Dad? I bought a Buick. Yes, I did. I bought a Buick. And we're going to talk about this car that I bought with my friend Ken Madden, who is a big fan of mid-80s, mid-90s General Motors and Ford V8s and old cars and driving old cars on a daily basis, because I bought myself a 96 Buick Roadmaster wagon, and it is awesome. We're going to talk about it in podcast 923, the Bob Davis Podcasts. One of the things I've been doing is talking to one of my sponsors, Brenda from OnTV Rentals and Realty One, about rental properties, investment properties, and entrepreneurial opportunities for people. Even though this may seem like an uncertain time, Brenda's here. She's going to tell us about how you might be able to build a great retirement fund and savings plan for your future. Hey, Brenda, maybe you should talk about the fact that there's a lot of renters to put in the houses right now.
Well, it's going to be a great opportunity for investors as owner-occupied properties to invest in, because those are going to hit the market where it's a duplex, triplex. You move into that unit, hire me to rent out the other one. Some time to think about where the market is moving, what's the shift that's going to happen the next. I don't think it's going to be 30 days. I think the shift is going to happen over the next 6 months. And it's a great time to start preparing and looking at the big picture of where real estate is going. I think this is going to be a great opportunity for young entrepreneur investor minds to take advantage of what is going on. I think it's a great time to start educating yourself over the next 30 to 60 days on how to be an owner-occupied investor and to start growing your portfolio.
So how does that work?
It's actually kind of cool. So what you can do is, because you are going to live in a multifamily unit property, meaning it has more than one door, so let's say a duplex, two buildings, separate addresses, as an owner-occupied, you live in, let's say, the south unit, you rent out the north unit, and you only have to put 3% down because you're living at the property. The big important part is that you live there as the owner. And enjoy that property, because when you go from the first one, this first duplex, you stay there about a year or two, you save up, you move to a different one, unit one is still paying that mortgage, unit two that you're moving out of is going to cover some more extra costs, and hopefully the next unit, and then your new house you're living in, doing the same thing, now you got all that extra cash coming, so that you can build up a savings or retirement. And the big picture is, three different groups are helping you pay off those two houses as a whole. So the best part of this is I have the ability to not only educate you and train you during this downturn of we're sitting around, you know, at home, we can educate you, we can have a Zoom call or whatever. We can now start searching for the property because I have the ability to get on the MLS, look for that ideal property. We can crunch out the numbers because I can usually price out most rentals by just looking at the pictures, square footage, what needs to be done versus what doesn't. And then we can go ahead and purchase that home. The best part about it is you don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I don't want to be a landlord. I don't know what to do. I can assist you with all the ins and outs. So if you're looking to make a move for your future, not today or tomorrow, but 5 to 10 years down the road, call me today, 651-600-7655. And I would love to sit down and chat with you and see what I can do to assist you. I would love to handhold you through this whole entire rental process. Again, Brenda at Realty One Group Choice, 651-600-7655.
Yeah, the number, once again, 651-600-7655. Brenda wants to help people with investment properties. She knows what she's talking about. She can find properties, crunch the numbers, determine whether there's value there, find you a house and tenants as well, and it gives property owners peace of mind. Online at antibrentals.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Talk to you again soon, Brenda.
Now, I'd love to talk to you, but I got to honestly get back to work. Hey, Bob, I hope you have a wonderful day and don't get burnt under this warm sun.
So Ken Madden is a friend of mine. We've known each other since I worked with Ciro back when we started helping companies with podcasting. So you're still at Ciro, obviously, the motorcycle parts manufacturer. And we used to have the banner up on the BobDavisPodcast.com and do podcasts and went to Sturgis a couple times with you guys and everything else. So how's it going over there?
It's going good. It's going good. We have a good online store, so we've been doing really well through all this. the other parts of the business have slowed down quite a bit, but our online stuff's working pretty good.
Okay, great. Well, and of course, I don't care about that because all I want to do is talk about the Buick.
Yes.
And people say, well, why would you be talking to this guy about the Buick? And the answer is that Ken Madden is one of these guys who has had, you've probably had, what, two or three of these Roadmasters, and you're a big fan of the big either 70s or 60s V8s, but running, you have a Lincoln, what do you have, like a 93 Lincoln or something?
97 town car.
Okay, so you and you will run these cars as everyday drivers, which I think is fascinating. You also had a 69 Delta 88, which I had when I was a kid, and you were running that for a while until somebody wrecked it. But your son, right?
Yeah, he got hit.
So, and of course that happens. But you will drive these things as a regular thing. And people think you can't drive those as everyday drivers. Those cars are 30 years old or 25 years old. Talk about that a little bit.
You can. You know, the American car, you mentioned my 69 Delta 88. I drove that every day from Ramsey, Minnesota to Hudson, Wisconsin, which is a 50-mile one-way commute. So 100 miles a day. I was driving that every day for months and months before it got in an accident. And the accident wasn't related to it being an old car at all, but it was wonderful. I mean, it was just floating down the road. You have some foibles and some things with the older cars, such as in 69, even though it was just a Delta 88 four-door, it had a high compression 455 cubic inch engine.
I had one.
Yep, making 310 horse and 495 foot-pounds of torque is what it was rated at. And that was still the kind of a base 455. That wasn't even the good one. But you need to run super unleaded, and you need to have it be non-oxygenated super unleaded. You really should run leaded in it, but you can get away with the super unleaded. But, you know, so then you're 330 a gallon, and with a 26-gallon tank, getting 12 miles a gallon, it gets expensive.
Well, and the good news is because gas is so cheap right now, we're sort of enjoying a little holiday right now. But yeah, that was one of the first things that my friend Robbie told me, who's another one of these guys who's really into these cars. And I got so many things to tell you about this that he said, try to get some non-oxygenated gas, which will really help, and then put some seafoam, just one can of seafoam, no more than that. And it does it. So the story on this car is this has been sitting in a pole barn for probably 10 years. And my father-in-law had it, and he's kind of getting to the point where he doesn't want to mess around with these anymore. And I saw it sitting there, and so I said, hey, you know, what if I want that car? So I got it. And the first thing that happened was that now he had had the brake lines, because this is what rust, because the rails are rusty, you know.
Yep.
And the brake lines along the rail got all rusted. So he did the back in like 2000, I want to say it was like 2010 or 11. He did the back brake with the bleeder screws, and the lines were replaced.
Yep.
And so I had it for about a week. And not even a week. And I noticed, I opened up the brake reservoir to see if there was any brake fluid in there, just to make sure, because the brakes were squeaking. Right. And then the next thing you know, the foot goes to the floor. And what had happened was that the entire line just fell apart, leading to the left front brake. And so I took it to my friends at Complete Auto in Blaine, and they little quick shout out for those guys. And of course, they had me in fits because he was like, I don't know, Bob, this could snowball, and you know, this could end up costing you a lot. And I'm like, and I got to tell you this because you'll love this. So it was up on the lift, and one of the other techs there that has worked on Mobile Podcast Command, and I've gotten to know him pretty good. He goes, is that your car? And I go, yeah. And he goes, hey, if you don't want it, I got three guys that'll pay top dollars for that right now. And I was like, oh, no, I want it. You know?
Well, I'm on top of that list. I've already
told No, you got first dibs.
I got first dibs on that car. I haven't even seen it yet.
You know, where do you see it? It's absolutely, I opened up the front door, the door, you know, I looked at the body and the door panels, completely clean. Like, it looks like it just came out of the factory. The whole thing is brand new.
That's the most important thing on those cars. You want to make sure that there isn't a lot of the rust. I've had a couple of Roadmaster wagons, but I've actually had five Roadmasters because I had two wagons. I've had three sedans. I've also had a Caprice, which is the same car, but Chevy.
Yes. There was a Caprice, but my son was driving that and hit a deer. So we're not buying the Caprice.
And then I had a Fleetwood, too. I had a 96 Fleetwood, out of all of that group of cars, the best. You know, the beauty of those cars. So, like when I was talking about the 455 and the Delta, it's an awesome car. It's just a highway cruiser. You'll cruise at 100 miles an hour without even thinking about it. You don't even know. And you're like, oh, look, I'm really moving here. But like I said, about the gas and things like that, by the 90s, cars had gotten so good. And people don't appreciate it now because most people are into cars if they're younger. They never had to drive crappy old carbureted cars that you bought for $600 that didn't run very well and needed points.
Yep.
You know, and they didn't understand how good cars would get. I mean, 100,000 miles, it was done. You junked your car and you had to rebuild the whole thing. When they got into the 90s, GM had finally – that 1996 was the last year of that platform. And that platform actually came out in 1977. So it had been almost 20 years of that exact platform. And GM had perfected it by then. And that motor that's in the car, the LT1, is good for 300,000 miles. It's absolutely bulletproof. People call them Corvette motors, and it drives me crazy because it's not a Corvette motor. But it's very similar. But it's actually better for longevity. It's iron heads, iron block, reverse flow. The way they did it with the LT1, so they made the small block Chevy for years and years and years. And in 1993, coming out in the Corvette in the Z28s, they had this LT1. And what they did is they made a high compression motor. They reversed the flow of the water pump, so it was cooling the heads first instead of last. So they could run a lot higher compression on the bad gas that they had to run. And they also, with the computer controls that were finally up to snuff, like you have the OBD2 system, the onboard diagnostics, you can run that car. You go 25, 26 miles a gallon at cruise control on the highway. I mean, I've done it. I drove to Sturgis, South Dakota.
Well, I have a question about that.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, it seems like it's laboring a little bit when it gets up to 72 or 73 right now. And I think it's because it's been sitting it literally sat for 10 years. They used it. They used it once a year for the family bike ride, and they would get all the wagons out so that they could pick up little kids that got tired of riding up there and at the lake.
Great.
And that they were just all three of those cars were just used for that because he had the Caprice, which he drove to work for years, and then he just parked it. But I don't know. He bought the Buick because I think he just wanted another one. So that went in there with the Cadillac, and then on the bike day, which was the 4th of July, they would take all three cars out and the truck and then ride around and follow the bikers and pick them up and stuff like that. That was it. That was the only thing it was ever used for. It's got – the tires are brand new.
Wow.
So and it's got 72,000 original – well, it's got – it came – he got it with about 68,000, so he probably drove it 10,000 miles. I know he drove it into town a couple times. But to make a long story short, why does it labor? It feels like you're pushing it a little bit at 70. I mean, it's fast. There's no question about it. Is it just because it's a big, heavy wagon, or why is it doing that?
It could be a few different reasons. It could be from sitting is the worst thing for cars. So what'll happen sometimes is the injectors will get a little bit sticky. That can be part of the problem. You could have a brake that's hanging up or something like that. If you just redid the whole front brakes, that's one thing, but you might have a brake that's hanging up. Or something like that. I had that on my Delta. I had to do, it could be a few things like that. It shouldn't be, because at 70 miles an hour, you shouldn't even feel like you're driving the car. It's silent and just flying, and you punch it, it kicks down to second and goes like a bat out of hell.
Well, we'll take it for a ride this weekend. And
yeah, absolutely. We'll take a look at it. I'll plug I still have the old scan tools for them. So I just plug it in. If there's anything wrong, we'll be able to find that out. No problem.
So in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about driving these cars and why people want them so much, because they are definitely – everybody wanted to look at it, and all the guys at the shop were like, you know, we got two guys or three guys that would buy this from you if you want, and everybody gets really excited about it. In fact, my neighbor said, hey, where's the Brady Bunch car? I go, it's in the garage covered up. I got the cover on it. You know, and he started laughing. He goes, that's a pretty awesome car. So everybody loves them. We're going to talk about why and what the attraction is, because I know you've got the Lincoln and you've had the Roadmasters. I know I saw the sedan picture that you put up was amazing. So we're going to talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, this time of the year, it's all about warm weather, and that means air conditioning checks. Here's the thing about Minnesota. As soon as the temperature hits like 70, 72, people think it's hot, and so they want to crank on the air conditioning. If this is you and you crank it on, you have problems with it, it's good to test it when it's over 70, or you can just call Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul to come over and test everything, especially that box in the back of the house or on the side of the house, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, especially these days at home or your business, when you have plumbing, heating, or air conditioning, problems, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. As I have said for years, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, four generations for Ryan in Frogtown in St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Aside from the air conditioning checks, you might have problems with the outside hose, you might have some pipe issues, and you might have some water heater issues from winter. So remember, Ryan Plumbing. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Now, as long as we're talking about houses, people looking around their house because they've been in their house, you're sequestered. If you have the resources, this is a good time to talk about a new kitchen, new basement, man cave in the garage, whatever, to build your dream, whatever it is. You need a builder who's going to be there with you from start to finish, and that is Randy Grabo. Randy's favorite thing is to do kitchens. I've seen his work, as I've mentioned a couple times. He's a great craftsman. They have all the equipment so they can be safe in your house. This is a great time to start working on this stuff. This is go time for contracting in Minnesota because we have such a short season. Get Whitetail Builders of Minnesota involved. WhitetailBuildersInc.com in Andover, Minnesota. Call Randy Grabo, 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail is focused on details, and they will be with you every step of the way. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Why, Ken Madden, do people love these cars so much? What's the attraction of these cars, you think?
Well, for people of a certain age, we grew up with cars like this, and in 1996, it was the last year for that really for that that platform of car. Now, Ford kept the Crown Vics, and I know you got a Crown Vic.
Yeah, still have it.
In the Grand Marquis going up until the 2010, and Town Cars till 2011, but they weren't quite the same. They're a little more modern. It had a 4.6 overhead cam motor that's different, and it wasn't. This was the 96 Caprice. Buick and Cadillac were the last of the real American luxury, full-size, expensive. These cars were not cheap. They were expensive cars. And they rode like you're on a cloud. Now, you can be nostalgic and remember those days and riding in them and get it. I think you are by getting that car. You'll notice it's quite a different car.
It's like driving a Barca Lounger.
It is. It's a couch for the 350.
Yeah, right.
So what I've noticed, and since I've had so many of them, I mean, you can't go into a gas station and put gas in it without somebody commenting how cool it is. I mean, it's really fun. But so that's part of it. But also, there isn't anything like it made. Everything has sports suspensions designed to handle, and those cars are still competent. I used to run them in the autocross all the time. Into body rolls and stuff. But you have anti-lock brakes. You have all the safety equipment. There's airbags. It's fuel injected. It's got all the modern conveniences, but still has that old American car ride, and it's silent. And it's a different experience when you're riding in that car than if you're riding a brand new Cadillac. A brand new Cadillac is excellent. It's probably a better car in every way, except it does not ride like a 96 Buick.
It rides like a European car.
Exactly.
Which was kind of the intention, is to make it more of a driving experience, whereas this thing is a driving experience, but you literally float. When you change lanes, you just kind of float over to the other lane, and it reminds me of riding in Tim Boyer's 65 Olds 98 that he got from his dad, and we used to drive around in that thing, and we loved it because it had lighters in the back, and of course you know what we use those lighters for, right?
of course you plug in your technology.
Yeah, we had a lot of technology in those days.
Yeah, the ride in those cars, and I remember we had a my parents in 1976, we were moving to a new house across town. It was a bigger house, and they had just bought a new used car. My dad always bought cars a couple years old because he always figured, let someone else take the depreciation.
My dad too. He loved buying used cars.
Yeah, he'd find beautiful ones too. I mean, you never know.
He did. So he would negotiate for hours and drive the guy crazy. He bought a 68 Electra. We had a 64 Electra and a 68 Electra, and everybody thought we were rich because we had a 68 Electra. And this car feels just like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Anyway, you were saying, sorry.
So anyway, we moved to the new house, and he bought at the same time we were moving a 74 Plymouth Fury Grand Coupe. I still have only seen two other ones.
Wow.
Ever. It was a pretty rare car. It's a 2-door top of the line Fury. It had power windows, power seats, air conditioning that would literally blow frost out, because it was the old R12, and literally frost would come out of the air conditioning ducts. It was the coldest car I've ever driven in. But I thought we were rich because we had a car with power windows.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, are we rich now, Dad? Look, I could put the back windows down. It was a hard top, so all four windows go down. And that's, yeah,
that was an awesome car.
That was just a great, great car. And I remember that. I remember driving. We drove cross country in a 1969 Chrysler Town and Country station wagon with a Shasta 18-foot trailer. Now, an 18-foot trailer is not a big trailer. I've got four brothers and sisters. So there was 1969. I'm a baby. I'm not even a year old yet. In the summer, we left from Boston, drove all the way to the West Coast, all the way down through Arizona, and then back up. They took the whole summer to do it. My parents were school teachers, so they had the summer. And pulling a trailer with two teenagers, two junior high school kids, and a baby in a station wagon. Can you imagine the hell that must have been? But the stories and the pictures, and there were the slides. Remember slides?
Oh yeah, my dad had tons of slides. Yes.
Yeah. And people come over, you turn off the lights, and you watch a slideshow. And I remember as a kid, it's like, oh, this is just crazy. But you think about what people did with these old cars, driving an old car. When it was new, it wasn't an old car. This is just what people had to drive. They just
That's
drove.
Right. There were no
winter, summer, whenever.
Yes. And, I'm reminded, I'm going to get a new sponsor here pretty soon, which is 36 and Lynn Gas Station in Lynn Lake in Uptown. And cool. they do, one of the cool things that they do is they do a festival every summer of Gremlins. Remember Gremlins?
Yes, I had one.
there's a ton of those around. I didn't know that there were that many of them around.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had a Gremlin. It was terrible. It was awful. It's the worst car I ever.
No, they couldn't compete. So one of the things I wanted to talk about was when I was a kid, I remember my grandpa talking about Buicks. Now, he was a traveling salesman in the Ohio Valley, West Virginia, Ohio, and Southern Ohio back in the day. And I think it's interesting, sort of the history of Lincolns and Buicks. Because back in those days, so we're going back to the late 30s and early 40s, actually the early 30s to a certain degree, those were the Buicks especially and the Cadillacs, they were the only cars that really had a lot of power with the exception of the Ford V8, but that was a smaller car. So the Buicks and they had the straight eights and obviously the Cadillacs had the V10s and V12s and the straight 12s, right? At a certain point.
V16 even.
Oh,
like had a V16.
Wow. Yeah. So why – talk about a straight 8 versus a V8 and talk about those really large V-twin, whatever you want to call them, the V12s and V16s. And so those were the thing is, this is how Cadillac and Buick built their reputations, is these cars were very, very robust for their time, right?
Right. Buick did a lot, had a lot of technological things that they were technologically advanced for the time on quite a bit of the cars. They were the first ones to have independent front suspension in 1934, where most cars had just one axle that went straight across and both the wheels were attached to it.
Wow.
And Buick in 1934 came out with on their luxury top of the line cars had independent front suspension that was basically the same setup that's on your 96 Buick. It was that close to being just right that they used it for 60 years with refinements, of course. But yeah, Buick had when they came out with the straight eight, that was an overhead cam straight eight, and it would blow away all the Ford V8s. It would it was one of the faster motors out there, and it was just made a lot of torque. It made you think about all eight cylinders in a row. The crankshaft was really long, so once you get that moving, that inertia, it made a lot of torque.
So they weren't drag racers, but once you got going, they were powerful.
Right, they were powerful and they lasted quite a while. And then Cadillac experimented with all kinds of things. They had a V8, they had a V12, and then they had a V16. And there was fun fact. There was a guy out in Massachusetts where I grew up. I used to go to cruise nights and we would go and hang out at ice cream bars or whatever with a bunch of other old cars. And he'd bring his V16 Cadillac, his 1929.
Oh, my God.
And it was bone stock. And the guy was kind of,
does that mean? Bone stock.
It means it was not modified. It was all original. It was just the way it rolled out of the factory. He'd restored it, but it was, he didn't make any alterations. It wasn't hot rotted. It wasn't, the motor hadn't been altered or anything like that. So it was just as it was in 1929. Beautiful car. I mean, gorgeous. It looked like it was brand new. And he'd go out and he'd do burnouts with it. He'd spin the tires and bake the, you know, and I'm like, in a 1929 Cadillac, he's doing this. Imagine the difference between that and a 1929 Ford Model A that had 60 horsepower.
Well, even the V8, which Clyde Barrow loved, as we know, but all the gangsters bought Buicks and Cadillacs if they could, because that was the car that had the power.
And Lincoln had, when Lincoln came out with the Continental, they had a V12, and it was the flathead Ford, flathead V8 that came out in 1932. They made a V12 version, and that was went in the Lincoln, Zephyrs.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's the car that, if you think about the old cartoons where they had the car with the long, long nose and the real sleek back end and stuff with the big fenders.
Yes.
You know, that the evil cat with the big hat would come out of.
Yes.
You know, it's that. It's a Lincoln Zephyr, 1939 Lincoln Zephyr. One of the prettiest cars ever made. But this all, like, to your point, this all is what built those companies' panache. And you by that time, by the late 30s, early 40s, most of the big really highfalutin cars like Duesenberg was gone. You know, Duesenberg was in a whole world of its own.
Handmade, basically.
Yeah, they were handmade.
They weren't production cars.
They were $8,000-$10,000 for the chassis. I mean, that wasn't even the body when you go buy a new Ford for $350.
Right.
You know, so, but the cars would go 140 miles an hour. And that's crazy in 1931, 32. But these guys were racers and they built these great cars and it was a cool time. So after the war, where, you know, they stopped producing at all, you know, there was just this race to get something new out. And oddly enough, Studebaker was the first one to come out with it. So in 47, there was the Studebaker. I can't remember the name of the model, but it was the bullet nose Studebaker, they call them.
Yeah, my friend had I remember that car, but I remember my friend Bill McFerrin's dad had one of those bullet Studebakers, and that thing was a tank. I mean, it was what, quarter inch steel? It was amazing. It seemed like quarter. I guess it was eighth inch, but it was steel. It wasn't made out of aluminum. I mean, that thing was a monster. It was a beast.
It was a beast. Absolutely.
And then my grandpa had a the earliest car that I remember is he had a 57 Buick Century, which you know what that looked like. That had
yes,
that giant
grill.
And then he had a 58, which had that Dynaflow transmission in it. And then he ended up with a 63. And I think that was the last Buick that he owned. And of course, my dad, he and my dad never saw eye to eye, but what does my dad do? The first chance he gets, he goes out and buys a used Buick Electra.
Yeah. I you know what? And when I was in college, I had a 64 Electra 225 10 window.
Amazing.
And I bought it for $200 in Iowa, in Clear Lake, Iowa. I went down with my friend Corey. And we were staying there for the weekend. The neighbor across the street had this old Buick. I'm like, what do you want for it? They're like, is it a run? They're like, yeah, probably a run. I'm like, $200? Yeah, sure. I drove it back from Clear Lake, Iowa to Minneapolis, which is 2 hours. And then I drove it to Chicago a few times. I drove that car all over the place. I never did anything to it, just tuned it up.
Yeah.
We'd call it shake and bake because you'd sit there at a stoplight and just punch it, and it wouldn't go anywhere. The back tires would just go up in smoke, and the smoke would just come up through the whole rust holes.
Well, I mean, it was a huge engine. The rust holes in the bed. The smoke would come through the rust holes. That's pretty funny.
So that was cool. So yeah, I just have always loved those big old cars. I appreciate all cars. I really do. But you know, when it gets down to, you know, when we get to my 97 Lincoln Town Car, this car is like almost pristine. My dad bought it new, which is cool. And when he replaced it in 2011 or 2015 he bought another town car used. I got this one and, I've just babied it. It hasn't seen a flake of snow or anything. So it'll be out soon. Now I think we're done with snow and I'll be out driving that.
You told
again.
Me Stacy's going to steal my car from me. So.
Yo, she's going to steal your car. Absolutely. Well, a moment ago when I was telling you that I got first dibs on it, she's in the back going, no. She's got first. So I actually have second dibs. But yeah, you're going to love that car. And It is the last true full-size wagon that you can put a 4x8 sheet of plywood in the back. And I know that sounds funny, but you can put a 4x8 sheet of plywood in the back of that car. And, you know, the two of them I had, I used both to move. When I had moved houses, it's great. You can just pack it up. It's also, yours has the trailer package. You sent me pictures of it, and I could tell by looking at the engine, you have a fan that's driven by a belt. If you have a fan that's driven by a belt, that was part of the trailer package. Oh. It was extra cooling.
Well, it's also got dual exhaust, which is amazing.
Yep, and it also has electric fans on it too. So you have a regular fan like you had in the old cars, but you also have electric fans on there too. So it cools like great. You have extra, there's better oil cooling, bigger tranny cooler, and it's rated to pull a 5,000-pound trailer.
Oh.
So that puts you in a 20-some-foot Airstream. Think about that. That's what you.
Well, maybe that's what I should do. Is just get a little trailer and drag that around.
Oh yeah, you could do that absolutely, and you could just park the trailer anyway. You take day trips in the wagon because I'd sleep in it. I mean, you fold it down; it's 4 feet wide and 8 feet long, and it's carpeted and padded.
It's beautiful.
And you fold the seats; it's flat. It's not like the new wagons that it folds or the SUVs, and there's a little bump here and a gap there. Nope, you lay it down, and there's just flat.
It's well, we had a Dodge wagon and we had a Chevy wagon, two Chevy wagons, and they were that's how we traveled. And we've talked about that many times. That's how the family, you know, we took that Chevy wagon to Florida. I don't know how many times, you know, dragging that through back before it even had the interstates, and we'd end up on some back road because my dad. And the other thing is, he would not go to a Standard Oil station because they refused to give him a credit card when he just got back from the war. So he refused.
Man.
We would drive that. The thing would be on empty, and my mom would be just about, and he'd be like, I'm not stopping at Ohio. We're going to Shell. I'm waiting for a Shell.
Yeah, where's a Citgo station?
Yeah, he would not go to a, and it was silly because today, who cares where you get your gas, right? No, he did.
Right.
He cared.
That mattered. Well, that's cool. Things mattered more back then. I think they really did. So I try to get everyone that I know at some point, just get an old car and drive it for a while, even if it's not every day. There's so much fun, and I've driven on new cool cars. I've driven Lamborghinis, I've driven Bentleys, and they're neat. And there's a wow factor when you drive that up into a gas station or stop at a parking lot, but it's different. That's more of the, oh my God, look what I just saw. You never see these. When you have a car like my town car or that wagon, you're going to go places and people are going to tell you a story. They're going to go, we had a car like this. And when we went up to New Hampshire, the tire blew and we ended up going up to
yes.
Washington. You know, there's always a story.
Yes.
Always. And I get it with my Delta 88. You know, you don't hear that. You know, my 98 Blazer, which is only 2 years newer than your wagon, doesn't even get a look.
Different era.
Different era.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was the end of the old era, but it had all the technology of the new era. So they really were, in my opinion, the greatest American cars ever made was that last road, that 94 to 96 GM full-size cars. You know, there was the Impala Supersport.
Well, yeah, and they were cop cars.
And they were a cop car that they just put lowered springs, big tires on. And the motor and tranny and everything's exactly the same as what you have in your car. But they dressed them up, and it really surprised them. They didn't think they'd sell that many.
Oh,
it was a crew. And here's the sad part. And this is why I don't like SUVs. They closed the factory in Texas that built all those cars.
That's right.
Built Tahoes and Suburbans.
Well, and then the other thing is that they finally killed that fleet because of the regulations passed.
Yeah.
In the mid 2000s. Well, we're talking about manufacturing, kinda, when we talk about cars. And if you're a manufacturer, I know manufacturing has been difficult, foreign manufacturing especially. If you're looking for an American company to do your manufacturing here in the United States, or at least part of it, think DepoStar, DEPOT, DepoStar American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing in Ramsey, Minnesota. Visit them at depostar.com. Just remember Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com for AC checks as the weather gets warm. You want to make sure everything's working right, and these are the guys to talk to. And remember, if you are doing a home business and you're working at home right now, of course, printers are an issue. And if you want to get a great deal on print cartridges, go no further than Cartridge World in Maple Grove. They can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, curbside delivery, and they can get you a printer if you qualify and free delivery on qualifying orders. Metro-wide, Cartridge World in Maple Grove. 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, I'm going to go get in my Buick and drive it around. Thanks for listening to podcast 923, the Bob Davis Podcast. And thank you, Ken Madden. All right, man. It's been great talking to you. And I'll bring the car over this weekend so you can check it out.
You are not leaving with the car.
What?
You're not leaving with the car.
You're taking the car.
I'm taking the car.
Get her off the phone. Get her off the phone. Get her off the
phone. I can't. She's got my phone. All right, Bob. Well, thanks. If I'm bring a guard, can you come up?
Thanks. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Once again, thanks for listening to podcast 923, the Bob Davis Podcast. Again.
You women have heard of jalopies. You've heard the noise they make. But let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me riding all.